This is Fresh Air. This interview is dedicated to our TV critic David Bianculli, who seldom lets a week go by without mentioning Twin Peaks on our show.
Did you kill Laura Palmer? That's a yes.
It was two Saturdays ago that Leland Palmer confessed to killing his daughter, Laura Palmer. Right after the confession, the evil spirit Bob left Leland's body and Leland died, which means the actor who played him, Ray Wise, is out of the series. The perfect time, we thought, to ask Ray Wise to fill us in on what it was like to star on Twin Peaks. Since the premiere of Twin Peaks, the characters in the series and the TV viewers who watched it had asked the same question: who killed Laura Palmer? I asked Ray Wise when he found out.
I found out the morning after the Emmy Awards this last summer. And Mark Frost and David Lynch called me up to their office. Actually called Ben Horn, Richard Beamer and myself, and Cheryl Lee, who played Laura and who played Maddie Ferguson, up to the office, and we went into a small room that was devoid of furniture. It was very dark. This is true. With a kind of lava lamp in the corner. A lava lamp waterfall, as I recall. And David was sitting on the floor cross-legged, and so was Mark, and so was Cheryl Lee. And Richard and I came in, and we sat down cross-legged. And David leaned over and put his hand on my knee, and he said, "It was you." "It was always you from day one. It was you." And I sort of bowed my head and curled up in a fetal position and said, and I really can't say the word that I said at the time, but it was, "Oh, shoot."
Why were you upset?
I didn't want it to be me. You know, I grew to love Leland Palmer and his strange ways, and I didn't want it to be him. You know, it's like having a close friend turned out to be a killer and go to prison and all that sort of thing. I just didn't want it to be Leland. I wanted Leland to go on and on.
Did it ease the pain, though, knowing that in a way he was innocent? Because after all, he was possessed. It wasn't his own motivation that killed Laura Palmer.
Absolutely. Mark went on to explain my last show and the meaning of the last show. And they also filled me in on some of the background that I hadn't been aware of, that Bob had been inside me for the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, Leland is a true innocent, in a sense, because he was totally possessed by this evil spirit, Bob, and so, yeah, when they told me that, it really took the edge off it for me. I was able to accept it a lot better after that.
Did the writers know right from the start that you did it, you know, that Leland Palmer was the...
Well, yeah, Mark and David, they promised me that they did. They knew it from the start. I don't think that they knew quite how they were going to arrive at that point.
Uh-huh.
But I think that they knew who they wanted it to be, and it was me. I was the sacrificial lamb.
Let's talk about that last scene, the death scene after you confess. And then, you know, you're barking.
Yes.
Was that whose idea was it for you to bark?
And that's me. That's all me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tim Hunter directed that episode, and Tim did a wonderful job. And but I had all these things sort of planned out in my head, the way I wanted to approach it anyway. The times when I was possessed by Bob, I wanted to exhibit certain things, and then when I became Leland again, I wanted to show certain things. The bark just sort of came out, very feral thing, very wolf-like, very animal-like, and very vicious, and it just seemed to fit with the woods motif. You know, the wolf in the woods, I kind of think so. I did it anyway.
So you've known the secret to who killed Laura Palmer since the summer. Were you, like, pledged to secrecy, and were you protected from the public in any way so that no one would find out?
Yeah, they made us do everything but sign a paper, you know. They stamped numbers on all of our scripts so that if one of our scripts fell into foreign hands, they would know the party responsible for losing it. And And I mean, it sounds funny, but it was true that they tried to impose maximum security on the set, and so that no one would know, and so there wouldn't be any leaks. And they even tried to fool the crew sometimes. You know, they would have us do certain scenes with a couple of different actors, and they would film it, actually waste money and waste film to shoot superfluous footage just so that people wouldn't know who the real killer was.
What are some of the ways people tried to get you to reveal who killed Laura Palmer?
Well, they just start talking to me. You know, they just start talking to me and asking me supposedly harmless questions. And it's wonderful to be able to talk to you right now with this load off my chest. I don't have anything to protect. I don't have anything to protect anymore. I can be pretty truthful, and it's great to feel that way. But people would just start out asking me little questions, seemingly harmless ones, and then try to lead into the big one and try to slip it in by me without my knowing it. But I always clamp down on it and say, look, I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
When you first started to work on Twin Peaks, what kind of overall description and what kind of character description did David Lynch give you?
Well, you know, when I first came in on Twin Peaks, it was originally for the role of Sheriff Truman.
Oh.
And David and Mark were seeing me for that role. And then we talked for about, on our first meeting, we talked for about 20 or 25 minutes and about just life in general and the first cars that we owned. I think David's was a Volkswagen and mine was a little 1960 Alfa Romeo convertible that was in pretty good shape. And anyway, we talked about our cars and a couple of people that we had in common, and then that was the extent of the interview. They called me back a few days later, and my agent said, Ray, you know, they're interested in you for the part of Leland Palmer. And I said, wait a minute, Leland Palmer? Who's he? So I opened up the script, and I quickly rifled through the pages, and, yes, there's Leland Palmer right here. Uh-huh. He hears that his daughter has been murdered, okay? He cries here. He goes to the hospital, to identify his daughter's body, and he breaks down and cries here. And I thought, oh my, this guy is spending a lot of time crying. He's a lot of time with grief. And that was my introduction to Leland Palmer. I had to quickly look him up in the script. And then several days later, we were all chosen for our various parts, and we flew up to Seattle about a week later to begin the pilot, And I thought Leland was a pretty normal, straightforward, simple kind of a guy who was a pretty good lawyer in town, reasonably intelligent, reasonably articulate, who was well-liked, and unfortunately had a young daughter who was murdered. And that's what I thought he was in the beginning.
Who came up with that Leland Palmer dance and the weird singing?
Well, the dance, the actual dance that you saw is mine. It's my creation.
Oh, great. Why don't you describe the dance for our listeners who hadn't been following?
The Leland Shuffle?
Yeah.
Leland, through his grief, has become just terribly, terribly sad, just moping around in corners And he can't seem to be able to deal with the thought that his daughter is gone, that she was murdered violently. And he sort of regresses back to a time in his past when he used to listen to big band music on the record player that his father introduced him to. And he loved that big band music so he would play these songs from that era, the big band music, and they would sort of soothe his spirit a little bit and calm him down and make him feel a little better. When he played these songs, he would naturally kind of do the dance of the time, which was a kind of a modified jitterbug, and he would vary it with some slower steps. And if people were watching very closely, they would have seen that the imaginary partner that Leland was dancing with varied in height from time to time, and that sometimes that person would get very small, and And that was little Laura when she was a little girl. And Leland taught her how to dance, and she would stand on his feet, and he would take the steps for her. And so all of these things were going through Leland's mind at the time. The soothing music, dancing with his daughter. And then it would become too much for him, and he would start to cry and to wail and sort of hold his head in his hands. And that was the beginning of the Leland Shuffle, doing that modified jitterbug, holding your head in your hands and wailing and crying. And dancing with no one. There's nobody there. Just dancing with yourself.
You know, I'm thinking in Twin Peaks, a lot of the actors were either considered, like, washed up, you know, like Richard Boehmer, and Peggy Lipton hadn't been on anything for a long time.
Well, you know, we don't like to say washed up. Just out of the public eye.
Yeah, thanks. And a lot of the actors weren't very well known to the public at all.
Yeah.
So there's an interesting mix of people.
A great mix.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if there was like a great esprit de corps because of that. I could see a lot of actors having a special investment in this because it was a chance to really be before the public in a way that they either hadn't been in a long time or hadn't ever been before.
Well, you're saying it better than I could say it. That is, it's absolutely true. Some of those people, in fact, most of them, Richard Boehmer and Russ Tamblyn, they're just. They're joys to work with, and I love them all dearly, and Piper Laurie, and just all the way down the line, the various personalities from different ethnic backgrounds, and we were all thrown together, chosen by David and Mark, who, in their great wisdom, picked a group of people who could, they knew instinctively would get along, and we did.
In a lot of ways, Twin Peaks was this weird version of a soap opera. Now you did a real afternoon soap opera for about 6 years, Love of Life.
Yes, I did.
Describe the character you played.
On Love of Life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I played a guy named Jamie Rollins, and when I started on that show in 1970, he was a college student. He was a kind of a pseudo hippie radical type who started riots on campus, and one episode I remember I caused the president of the university to have a heart attack. So that's the way he started, and then 6 years later, he was a lawyer in the district attorney's office. Now, you tell me how that could possibly happen, but it did.
Social realism.
And in that 6.5 years' time, I was a cub reporter on the newspaper, and I had a Marcia Mason there for a while as a girlfriend on the show, and I was almost poisoned by Christopher Reeve, who later turned out to be Superman. He played a character named Ben, and I was a garage mechanic and then a law clerk, and I worked for a judge for a while, and just a million things happened. In the meantime, my wife ran off with my child, and my little child fell through the ice and died, and I had an affair with one of my good friend's wives, and she became pregnant with our illegitimate child, and just a whole slew of things. My best friend died of a rare blood disease. I mean, I can't even tell you all the stuff that happened, but it did.
You obviously have
a lot of fun.
You obviously have a nice sense of irony. Was it hard for you to take the role or the show seriously?
The Love of Life?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure was. Yeah, it was very hard to take it seriously. But, you know, we tried to do the best we could, and it was a great job. I mean, you learn how to act in front of a camera, and you do it on a daily basis, and you make a pretty good wage, which is always a desirable thing.
In your film career, you've worked with some interesting, very quirky directors. Okay, there's David Lynch from Twin Peaks. Paul Schrader directed you in the remake of Cat People. Wes Craven in Swamp Thing. Yeah. Do you like quirky movies like that?
Well, yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I do. I enjoy watching them, and I certainly enjoy doing them, being in them.
Yeah.
And I think that because I like to do movies like that, that they sort of gravitate toward me, that these parts become available to me because I want them to be available to me, and I end up doing them. That's the kind of thing I like, and it is true that they seem to suit me, I think.
You're interested in horror? It says in your bio that you have the original 1897 edition of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, I'm steeped in it, yeah.
How'd you get started?
Why? I don't know. I suppose it might have something to do with my Romanian heritage. I'm half Romanian on my mother's side, and no, I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do with that, because we've been here in this country for many, many years. But mm-hmm. but I do enjoy those legends of Count Dracula, Vlad the Impaler, you know, early yeah. on in the 14th, 15th century, and the whole vampire mystique, and I love to be scared, you know. I love to lie in bed late at night under the covers and have that book in front of me and shiver a little bit when I read passages, certain passages. And it feels good. It feels to be on the edge, you know, of that kind of danger, literary danger, you know, that isn't life-threatening. It feels pretty good, and I enjoy that feeling.
Now that your character of Leland Palmer is dead,
yeah.
is there any chance you're going to be coming back as an apparition or in a flashback?
Well, from your words up to God's ears. I don't know. I suppose that that's always possible. It would be interesting, and I'm sure that some thought about that has been bandied about. Mm-hmm. They don't miss a trick up there in the Twin Peaks office.
Right. You're at NPR's Los Angeles Bureau now. I'm in Philadelphia. We're not really looking at each other.
Right.
I mean, we can't see each other. So I need to know, is your hair really dark or is it really gray?
Well, oh, you mean my real hair?
Yeah.
My real hair is dark.
Okay.
It's dark brown. So and they had to make my hair white through a terrible chemical process that I don't think anybody should have to endure. But I did for several months, and they had to use major chemicals and large amounts of them to make my hair as white as it looked on the screen. And right now, I'm half and half.
Oh, it's only half grown out?
Yeah, I'm very Madonna-ish, I guess. very, very dark roots that are about an inch long and then about an inch of white hair on top of that. And it looks, everybody tells me it looks quite good, but I can't imagine that. I'm just giving my hair a breather. I'm letting it rest a little bit now. And I've promised my wife that I'm going to get a cut within the next couple of weeks.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us. It's been a lot of fun to meet Ray Wise.
Yeah, it's great talking to you. A lot of people, they've seen a lot of Leland, but not a lot of Ray, and it's nice to talk to you.
Actor Ray Wise.